This morning we're going to turn in God's Word to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We're going to read just a few verses from this well-known chapter. Matthew chapter 17, we're going to start our reading at verse 14. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, the Scripture says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." Amen. We trust the Lord will bless His word to our hearts for His great name's sake. This morning I want us to think on that phrase that ends verse 17, where the Lord Jesus tells those who are gathered about Him, bring Him hither to me. Bring Him hither to me. Before we go further, let's pause and ask the Lord to bless His word to our hearts and to speak to us and to show us Christ. Our Father and our God, again, we come to Thee in the time that Thou hast appointed for us to consider Thy Word. Lord, it is our prayer that as we gather at Thy feet, that Thou wilt be the one Thyself to teach us, to speak to us, to minister to us. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt allow Thy Word to be that which is the quick and powerful and sharp two-edged sword that divides us, that causes there to be an opening of our hearts to Thee. And Lord, that allows us to be able to receive the very water of the Word. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt undertake and minister richly. We pray that Thou wilt do a deep soul work within us all as we see the glorious Son of God. Lord, undertake for me now as Thy servant, I pray. Help me hide under the blood. Allow there to be the directing of the Spirit of God and all things that are said now in this time. We ask this, that Thou will undertake for Jesus' sake then. We pray in His name. Amen. This morning I would like for us to consider the subject, the exceeding goodness of the Lord Jesus to those who are utterly without a hope. The exceeding goodness of the Lord Jesus to those who are utterly without a hope. Before we begin our consideration, I would like to ask a question. Who are those who are utterly without a hope? Well, if we were to look at our reading here, a man might say, well, Matthew 17 says that the one who was out of his mind because of the effects of sin, and perhaps those that are like him were those that were utterly without hope. After all, the center of attention of this reading that we have here today is on this lad and his pleading father. Well, we might say this. Perhaps we should look around at the others that were standing there as well. Because I think the label that I just submitted to you was applicable to more than just this young man. There were those that were standing there at this scene, disciples, who had utterly failed in their efforts to serve. They were not hard-hearted toward the man. They were those that were failures nonetheless. They stood there embarrassed with hands hanging down, I say. There were also there that day onlookers. These had an interest in what they saw, but had no moving of God to even want to enter into the moment. Perhaps we might comment on these as not being those that were particularly the failures, but those that were dull-hearted. And then perhaps you will have those who were the opponents of Christ seen in this portion. It doesn't seem like there was ever a crowd or ever a multitude that was referred to in the Scriptures we didn't see. Those who opposed Christ, those who were argumentative to the things that He would say, those who accused Him, those who sought to bring to nothing the things that He taught. A word that we might put over them is the word rebellion. You have this lad who is representative of those that are helpless, but I say there were all of a sort that were here that day that could be labeled so. So again, I ask the question, who were the helpless and the helpless? Well, they all were. Everybody who heard the Lord Jesus speaking was hopeless and helpless. The young man, I say, who was deaf and dumb by the devil was but a picture of the true state of every man in reality. Therefore, the message that I'm going to bring to you this morning is a message for every man. It is a word to every heart. It is an invitation to all who will hear. The Lord Jesus is presented in this portion as the one who is infinitely good to all who will come to Him. Good in that He not only heals and solves the matter of a moment. Good not only in that He breaks the power of the darkness in the soul of the helpless, but good in that He draws us to Himself, and in so doing, fills us with a knowledge that in being with Him, we have a never-ending hope. I want us to consider those words that the Lord Jesus says about this young man, or says to those that are hearing, bring him hither to me. Bring him hither to me. Let's consider this scene. Let's consider this young man. Let's consider more particularly the Lord. I have four things I'm going to present this morning. Four very simple things. I want us first to consider the case of such as is invited. The case of this young man. The case of those that stood around. The case of any of us. The young man was in a place of utter need. And what he did was nothing before the face of the Lord Jesus as far as a righteous act. He comes as one who is being drawn by a loved one. And we look at him and we say, here is one that is without hope. But in fact, the need of the young man was so great that you and I would find it very easy to disassociate ourselves from him. In this picture entirely, we'd say, what this young man was, what we see in him, this is not me, this is not representative of me in any way. But as I said, this young man is really a picture of us all. So, the question would be, if that's true, how does what this young man was going through relate to me? Well, I want you to see a couple things. First, I want you to see about the case of this young man that he was utterly poor in faith and grace. He was utterly poor in faith and grace. But so were all who stood about him. For there was the point of the Lord's word of rebuke. He says to them, how long shall I suffer you? How long shall I be with you? O faithless and perverse generation. The Lord Jesus rebukes these people because they were utterly poor in faith. But then again, I would ask this. Is it not true of us all that we stand before the Lord and confess that we have little sight of grace and show very little marks of faith working itself out in us? Let's be honest. Who among us this morning could ask or make the statement or wear the title giant of grace? None of us. This young man in his poverty of grace, his lack of faith, very much shows us ourselves. But I say, we do not need to convince ourselves with argument after argument that it is those that need to know much grace that the Savior receives, and the poor among us in grace must find a way into a higher standing. That's what we oftentimes tell ourselves. Unless we are filled with grace, unless we are great and mighty in faith, the Lord won't have anything to do with us. This young man teaches us this is the opposite to the truth. This young man and his father had nothing and so confessed, "Help thou my unbelief." The crowd was no different. All were without grace. All were without faith. Is that you this morning? Would you say that of yourself? I say you're in a good place then. Not because of the condition, but because of the hope you have in the one who can come to you or help you in that condition. Second, I would point out about this young man's case that his greatest danger was not the world about him, but not to be seen of Christ. We might say, well, his greatest danger was that he was being thrown down into the fire and thrown down into the water. No, I say that was the least of his problems. The devil tormented him sorely. But how really was he different in that single fact than any other man who's tortured and tormented by guilt? There was an open show through this young man of the desperate condition of a man under Satan's hand. But what was seen of the lad was but a show of us all. Yes, he was in danger of the fire and destruction, but what was really his greatest danger was that perhaps he would go without Christ. And then last I would point to this point. His ability to voice his need was hindered. This man, this young lad, could not cry out. He was deaf and dumb. It was his father that was the voice in this instance. And I say, but this is just a note. The point is that the lad was a picture of the fact that we are all tied in our tongues, that we all do not cry out before the Lord as we ought, that we all, when we are dead in our trespasses and sins, are as unable to speak as this young man was. But notice here, it really didn't make much difference. Because it was the voice of the Lord that made the difference. The Lord said those words, "Bring him hither to me." It was the Lord inviting. It was the Lord calling. It was the Lord drawing this young man. Even though he was in an awful state. He was in a graceless state. He was in a dangerous state. He was in a desperate state. Still, the Lord Jesus uttered those words, "Bring him hither to me." Notice also that the words of the disciples could not do a thing to help him. They were inept in themselves. My point this morning is simply this. Those invited to come to the feet of the Lord Jesus are those who are utterly needy. But yet He invites. You and I can associate ourselves with this young man in so many ways. Lord, I do not know much grace. I do not have any abilities. I have things about me that seem to torment me within. Here's all this that regards me that's so much like this young man, and yet you still say, come. You still say, come. I want us to see, secondly, the cause of such an invitation. Some would say that the Lord Jesus invited this man to come because of the successful pleading of his father. How successful was his father in pleading? Well, his father's pleading had to come to the point of actually confessing, Lord, I am not pleading right. I don't believe. You say, if thou believest, anything is possible to him that believest. And yet, Lord, I know that there's an inadequacy in myself. Lord, help thou my unbelief. The pleading of his father was completely inadequate. Some would say that the Lord Jesus, and perhaps we read this way, some would say that the Lord Jesus grew exasperated with those that he was standing before. And as he grew exasperated, then he, out of frustration with these people, says, okay, I will help you. Well, let me say this. For you to assign to the Lord Jesus a heart of exasperation and frustration assigns to him a character that's a result of the fall. The Lord Jesus is not acting out of exasperation here. When he says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? That's not the statement of a man who is put out or a man who is impatient with those that he's dealing with. In fact, let's put it this way. Let's ask the question. How long would the Lord Jesus suffer with these people? How long will the Lord Jesus suffer with you, even though you may come to Him just as this young man, with all the problems, with all the lack of grace, with all the inadequacies, with all the failings, with all the dangers? How long will the Lord Jesus suffer with you? The answer? He'll suffer with us until all of us are safely brought home. That's it. Period. And so you see, on the heels of this statement, when the Lord Jesus asked that question, he says, bring him hither to me. I will suffer as long as it takes to bring those that are mine home. Child of God, you might be here this morning, you might be in your own heart wondering, how long is the Lord going to suffer with me? How long is the Lord going to have patience with me? I come to Him failing all over the place. I come to Him without the least little bit of grace. I come to Him as one who shows signs of my failures all over the place. How long will He suffer with me? He'll suffer with you as long as it takes to bring you home. Understand, the Lord Jesus knew the full case of what sin was doing in this young man. He knew the full range of what the bondage of the devil was. There was nothing about the situation that the Lord did not already know and fully understand with all of its ramifications. The Lord understood it all. And yet He still says, bring him hither to me. Why? Well, what's the cause of that? Well, as I just said, there was a complete intention to rescue all that were his own. There will not be one that is left to suffer. It's sort of an interesting statement here if you think just in the terms of the words that are used by the Lord Jesus. How long shall I suffer you? Well, how long did he suffer us? How long did he suffer? How did he suffer? You know, you can even take the imagery here that you have with this young man. He was cast into the fire, into the waters. You think, isn't that not what the Lord Jesus encountered? He went into the waters and fire of judgment for us. He suffered for us. He continued to suffer until that day when he was able to say, redemption's work is done. This young man was not going to be left to perish. And even though the Lord Jesus points out that there is a lack of faith on the part of many, he would not allow this young man to perish. And second, I say that the cause was not only his intention to rescue, but his tender compassion and his wonderful love. You just think about the words here of our text for a moment. Bring him hither to me. Bring him hither to me. Has your own soul not wanted to hear the Lord Jesus say that over you? What wonderful and comforting words these are. We can rest our own minds and our own hearts in this. If there's a moment of need, if there's an hour of conviction, if there's a desire for rescue, What does the Savior say to us? Bring him hither to me. Well, I say, you see, the case of this man was a man without grace, a man in desperate condition, a man perhaps even ignorant of the things of God. He was utterly a picture of failure, and yet the Lord bids him come. Why? Because the Lord intended to rescue, and the Lord had a compassionate love. Then notice, thirdly, the condition attending such an invitation. And here my point may be somewhat oversimple. Some would maybe even say, well, it's not even really a point. But I would just simply say this. When the Lord Jesus said, bring him hither to me, the Lord Jesus did not say to those that were with him that day, but clean him up first. Or the Lord Jesus did not say, wait until he is in one of his better moments, then bring him to me. The Lord Jesus didn't say, this fellow has to be different than he is right now in all of his ugliness, in all of his problems, in all of that which is repulsive. I can't deal with him in that condition. He has to be better than that before he can come to me. Notice the Lord Jesus did not say that. What did he say? Bring him. Bring him. There is no need, for there is no way to come to the Lord Jesus other than you are. How simple is that? How are you to come to the Lord Jesus this morning? As you are. You mean I don't have to go out there and do something? I don't have to go out there and say something? I don't have to go out there and be something different? No. Come to Jesus as you are. So we can say categorically from this sinner, you can come right now and be saved as you are. Believer, do you need the Lord? You can come to Jesus right now as you are. What a wonderful, wonderful, simple thought. I can come to Jesus anytime as I am. And He will always receive me. Fourth and last, the cure awaiting such an invitation. The cure awaiting such an invitation. I want you to understand the cure that the Lord Jesus shows to this young man was not a method. There wasn't an employment of some do this, then do that, then do the other thing. Nor was the cure a matter that was worked out through the agency of men. The Lord Jesus didn't say, you're going to get cured by what I accomplish with you by the doings of others. Again, the imagery here is extremely simple. The one in need comes to the feet of the Lord Jesus to have that is to have an immediate and lasting help. To come to the Lord Jesus. The cure is complete. The cure is real. The cure is that which will fit the need. But notice something with me here that other places in the Scripture, it tells us that when this young man did come, and when this man put himself at the feet of the Lord, the devil did oppose even the cure of the Lord. What does it say? The devil threw him down. The devil caused him to be as one who was almost dead. So comments the other Gospels about this young man. The devil opposed. And do not be confused here or think that just because you come to the Lord that you're never going to have another problem. There's not going to be any battle about what the Lord's going to have you do. When you come to the Lord Jesus for the healing of your heart, for the help, for the grace, the devil's going to oppose you. Your mind and your flesh are going to oppose you. It's going to be a battle. But the cure will be real. Because the cure comes from the Lord. It doesn't have anything to do with how you come, how many times you come. You come, the Lord wins the battle for His people. The Lord wins the battle over our old man, our old heart, our old flesh. The battle is won over the devil. The Lord does His work and He brings to pass that which is needful for us to be able to go on with Him in a way that causes us to rejoice in our Savior. Here is just a very simple picture. This young man in utter need, in utter helplessness, sees nothing but the goodness of Christ. Bring him hither to me, just as he is, with all of his failings, with all that he lacks, with everything that causes a man to be repulsed. Bring him to me, and I will receive him, and I will be the one to do him good. No matter who stands in his way, no matter what the opposition is, I will rescue that which is my own, because he is my own. Oh, may we be a people who are willing to say, Lord, I will stop trying to fix myself up. I will try to stop being something other. I will just simply come to thee and by faith receive that which you hold forth to me as a promise. May the Lord bless His word. May the Lord give us help this morning to be those to see how simple and yet how real is the invitation of the Lord. Well, amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we thank Thee for Thy word. Lord, we would pray that Thou wouldst help us to be those who are enabled of the Lord to, by faith, come to Christ and embrace that which He holds for us. Lord, I pray for those who are in this room, perhaps even now, who would say, Lord, I am like that man in so many ways. I don't have grace. I don't have faith. I have failings. And Lord, if I come, I can only come bringing all that which is ugly with me. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt hear the heart cry of such, and Lord, that Thou wouldst allow them to know that calling of the Lord Jesus that brings them to the feet of the Lord. Lord, help Thy people to rest, to know that it is Thy work, it is Thy heart that makes the difference, and not what we do within ourselves as to whether we know the good of our God. Lord, bless now Thy word. Attend with us as we continue before Thee in this Thy day. Continue to work in us, we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.